Now let's take our Bible and turn for a few minutes to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It's been our verse for this month. Our theme for the year is a greater vision. Our vision can often become short, narrow. Even as a believer, that's the case. And so we need to have our vision expanded. We need to have our vision enlarged. We need to have a greater vision, as the verse says. Where there is no vision, the people perish, as the verse is, that's on the wall on the way out of the auditorium here and up behind me here. A greater vision is what we desire for the Lord to give us in 2016. And 2016 is 7/12 finished. I know it sounds like crazy math, but it's over halfway, isn't it? We've got 5 months left, and we've had 7 months so far. So I trust that these verses that we've had each month have been a help to us to think about our vision. And I hope that that will be the case as well in the message this evening with the verse that we have been learning for this month. The Bible says, "Well, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." That, of course, is breaking into the middle of a sentence. It's not the full sentence. The Bible verse is not a sentence. And let's always remember, the Bible verses are put there for our benefit, not to chop up the scriptures. It's just there so that I could tell you tonight, turn to 2 Corinthians 4:18, and we'd find the same place. I didn't have to say the fifth paragraph on the second page, whatever. We have these verse divisions and chapter divisions to help us. And so this one carries on from verse 17 into verse 18. But really, where do you stop? The whole book is really about a similar theme, and it all ties together. You can't just say, well, this chapter is about this and this chapter is about this, because the whole book ties together as well. And so tonight, just briefly, we're going to think about verse 18, what it says, and how it relates to other things in the chapter of chapter 4. And I have entitled the message tonight, "An Eye for the Unseen." An eye for the unseen. Well, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, think about that for a minute tonight. Seeing the unseen. What do you mean? How can you see the unseen? Because if you're seeing the unseen, it's no longer unseen. It sounds like a contradiction, but it is possible, not with physical eyes, but with the eyes of faith, we can see the unseen. Seeing the unseen is a choice. It's a decision. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. He's talking about making a choice, a decision, to look at something other than what would normally catch our attention. We have to choose to look at the unseen because it's not readily available to see. But with the eyes of faith, it is possible to see it. It's very evident from Paul's writing here that he and Timothy chose to look at what wasn't seen. In the circumstance of the life that are mentioned in chapter 4, he's saying these things aren't so bad. They're light afflictions as long as we're looking at what's not seen and not what is seen. They made a choice. It won't happen by accident to look at the unseen. The unseen is harder to see than the seen. It's harder to see the unseen than it is to see the seen. The things that are visible to our eyes are very easy to see, aren't they? We live in a very visual world today. A world that has a lot of screens in it. The screens all over the place. The screens is one that drops down here that projects from that projector. I've got a screen here on the podium here with my notes on it instead of paper. The screens all over. We have TV screens and computer screens and there's big billboards and there's all kinds of things that are seen that will catch your eyes. And if there's ever been a visual day, today is a very visual day. We see problems with attention spans with children learning and so on, but the eye gate is that which captures attention. And so we realize that which is seen is it catches our attention very quickly. The things in this life are in store windows, they're online, they're in person, they're on computers. They're very easy to see. But the unseen, not so much. How do we see the unseen? Well, chapter 5, it's on the same page for me, verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." That's how you see the unseen, is through the eyes of faith. Hebrews 11:1 reminds us that faith is the evidence of things not seen. So we see those things with the eyes of faith, not with our physical eyes. It takes not only faith, but it takes thought and concentration to see the unseen. We have to think about what God has said in His Word, and we have to put our minds to that and place our faith in it. To see the unseen is a choice, because the seen is much easier to see than the unseen. And so, seeing the unseen. But what is the difference between the seen and the unseen? Other than the fact that one is seen and one isn't, there's a great big difference between the two, according to what we just read in verse 18. The things that we can see are temporary. They are temporal. That word temporal means temporary. It means it won't last forever. Despite how appealing they are, everything that we can see with our eyes is going to fade away. This building will not always be here. One day, according to 2 Peter 3, if it lasts that long, it's going to be melted. It's going to be gone. It's going to be destroyed. The beautiful, picturesque valleys and mountains and lakes and rivers and all those things that we see with our eyes, according to what God's Word tells us, they're all temporary. They're not going to last. They're not going to be there one day. The Bible says in 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. The world passes away, and the lust thereof, the things that we can see with our eyes. Well, Jesus said it this way, didn't he? He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and neither thieves break through nor steal. There's things that are disappearing before our eyes. They're rotting, they're falling apart, they're being stolen, they're being taken away. And so they're being corrupted, they're being disappearing. They're only temporary. They don't last forever. As nice as they are, the things that we can see are temporary. That's what Moses recognized, isn't it? When he saw Egypt and he thought, man, I'm being raised in the palace. But they're my people. They are God's people. We are God's people. And I'd rather suffer with them and know my God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. All this pleasure of Egypt, all this luxury of Egypt is not staying. It's going to disappear. It's going to be gone. Abraham and Sarah recognized that the cities of Canaan were only temporary. The Bible says that they looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. So we want something permanent. We want something fixed. No matter how permanent things may seem to be, if you can see them, they won't last. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that you cannot see, they are going to last forever. That doesn't apply for everything that you cannot see. So I can't see what's on the other side of that wall. Does that mean it's going to last forever? No, we're talking about in the context of what he's referring to here, the things that we see with the eyes of faith. The Lord is eternal. We can't see him with our eyes, but he is eternal. He will be forever. Heaven, we can't see heaven. We can read descriptions about it, little snippets of information that God gave us to say, heaven, this is a little bit about heaven, this is a little bit about heaven. We can't imagine fully what it's going to be, because he tells us that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. We can't fathom the depths of heaven. We can't fathom the fullness of heaven. But with the eyes of faith, we see heaven as it's revealed to us in the Scripture, and we say, it's eternal. It'll last forever. The rewards of heaven are eternal. Those things that 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about, where our works will be tried with fire, and the fire will try our works of what sort it is, and the things that abide, that the reward that's given, that's an eternal reward, the gold and the silver and the precious stones. The wood, hay, and the stubble, they're the things that we see. They're the things that are going to be gone. And so the things that are not seen are eternal. By the way, that also stands with hell as well, doesn't it? We can't see it, but it's eternal too. The lake of fire, a terrible place, a place for which Jesus came to save us from, and I trust that you know the Lord tonight. But the things that can only be seen with the eyes of faith are the true ones with true value. They're the things that are not seen, but they are eternal. But what are the effects of looking at the things which are seen quickly tonight? According to what we read in the chapter, and these are just a few thoughts pulled out here from the chapter as we think of this continuing thought throughout the chapter, ending with, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The effects of looking at things that are at the unseen, first of all, is perseverance. In verse 1, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And we could add, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. We faint not while we look beyond. If we look at the things of this life, we may faint. We may say, this isn't worth it. This is discouraging. It's not worth it. I quit. I give up. But Paul said, while we look at the things which are not seen, the eternal things, we faint not. We persevere. We carry on, realizing there's greater things ahead. There's blessings to be had. There's eternal rewards to win. If we're looking at the temporary, when opposition comes, it'll be much easier to quit. Perseverance comes realizing that there's more to what we see than what we can see. God's got something in this, so therefore I'm going to keep going. I can't see what it is. I can't see the results I like to see yet, but this is what God gave me to do, and I'm looking at the things which are not seen, so I'm going to keep on doing it. I'm going to carry on. Secondly, in verse number 2, if we look at the unseen, we will renounce sinfulness. He says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending yourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He says, listen, if we're looking at the things which are not seen, we're not going to live in sin. We're not having an interest in living in sin. Dishonesty, craftiness, and deceit. Why are people dishonest? Why are they crafty and why are they deceitful? Because they want to get all they can see right now. If I can deceive some people, I can get some more money, some more things, some more popularity, some more fame, some more gratifying things that will gratify me right now. It's the things that we look at that we see right now. If we are looking at the things which are not seen, why would we want to be dishonest? Because we know that in the end, it's best to be honest before God and before other people, because that's what God told us. We know that in the end, it's best to be wise, but not crafty. To be clean with our life, not deceitful. Proverbs 12:19 says, the lip of truth shall be established forever. But a lying tongue, just for a moment, seen, not seen. As Moses noted, the pleasures of sin are only for a season. He said, it's not worth the cost. The price tag is too great. Looking at the things that are seen will find us manifesting the truth. He says there, but we've renounced dishonesty and we are by manifestation of the truth commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We show ourselves honest because we're looking at the things which are not seen. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. You won't live in sin if you're looking at the unseen. So it will affect us, looking at the unseen. We won't quit, we'll persevere, we'll live right, we'll renounce sin, and we'll preach the gospel in verses 3 to 6. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and our servant, ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Preach the gospel. We're looking at the unseen. We're going to busy ourselves with the important task of telling people about the Savior who died to save them from the eternity that they cannot see, that they need to open their eyes of faith to see. We won't hide the gospel if we see the results of eternity without it. If we see the rich man begging for water still in hell today, we're not going to hide the gospel. If we see the unseen, we'll preach the gospel, not promote self. People are blinded to the gospel. We need to share the gospel with them, not to preach our philosophies and preach our ideas and our mannerisms, all those things. Well, there may be some good habits and things to learn. We need to preach the gospel. He says we're not preaching ourselves, we're preaching about Christ, because we're looking at the things that are not seen. We're looking at eternity. Recognize the treasure of salvation as well. If we are looking at the unseen, we'll recognize the treasure we have in salvation. Verse 7, it says, "For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us." Isn't that a powerful statement? We have this treasure. What treasure is that? The treasure of salvation. The treasure of the gospel. The treasure of a personal relationship with the Lord. We have that in earthen vessels. That's these bodies of clay, these tabernacles, as he refers to them in chapter 5, that we must soon put off. He says, when we look at the things which are not seen, we'll realize, wow, I'm so glad I'm a Christian. I'm so glad I have Christ in my life. I'm so glad that somebody told me about the Lord and I received that salvation. I'm so glad for the gospel. I'm so glad that I'm saved. The treasure of salvation. What a treasure our salvation is. We mentioned it last week. Jesus said, don't rejoice in the things you can do. Rejoice in where your name's written. It's written in heaven. It's a treasure that we have in this earthen vessel, this weak body of clay that we have. And so if we look at the things which are not seen, we will persevere. We will renounce sinfulness. We'll preach the gospel. We'll recognize the treasure of salvation, and we will renew our inward man. We don't have time to read verses 8 down to verse 16, but he's talking about how they were troubled and how they were discouraged and how they felt like quitting, no doubt, all the things that they were going through in their life. But look what he says, and we'll pick up reading verse 15. It says, "For all things that are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not." There's that same thought of perseverance again. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, while we look now at the things which are seen. We're looking beyond, we're looking at the future, and that helps us to say, hey, praise God, there's better days ahead, even if we have to wait till eternity to get there. And so therefore, it renews us, it gives us strength to carry on. It gives us a renewing of our mind. It says of Moses, when it says that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season, it says, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That inner strength to carry on, that renewal came because he saw the Lord. He saw the invisible. He saw the unseen. And his inner man was renewed. And so will it be with us. And of course, finally in verse 17, if we are looking at the unseen, we will see the lightness of our affliction. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. A few minutes ago, we talked about all the things that we see, the pleasurable things that we see, the fact that they're temporary. But here at the end of the chapter, he doesn't talk about the pleasurable. He talks about the unpleasant, our affliction. But he said if we look at our affliction in light of eternity, it becomes a light affliction. While we look not at the things which are seen, we look at the things which are not seen. They don't feel light when we're going through them, do they? They don't feel like light afflictions if they last a few days, a few weeks, a few months, a few years. That doesn't feel light. But Paul, as the things that he's spoken about in this chapter, all the things that he faced, being troubled on every side, persecuted, always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord, always delivered unto death, he says those things are just a light affliction as long as we're looking where we're supposed to look, at the things which are not seen. The afflictions we face serve to strengthen us when we look to eternity. When we look ahead, we see the eternal rewards for the things that we suffer. And he says, they work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So there's things that we learn in these trying times that will count for eternity. Jesus said, lay up treasure in heaven. Paul says one of the ways we lay up treasure in heaven is going through these afflictions, realizing that they're accomplishing something in us of eternal value. 1 Peter 5:10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Wouldn't we like to take that one phrase out and read, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. We see, if we take that out, we won't be able to be established, strengthened, and settled in the same way. Because God has a purpose in our suffering. Like the refiner of silver has to bring it to that temperature to get the dross off. And so our affliction will be light if we count it in light of eternity. Let me ask you tonight, do you have an eye for the unseen? It's a choice that we have to make. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The difference is one is temporary, the other is eternal. We make a choice. That which is seen, that which is not seen, that which is temporary, that which is eternal. Where you have your eyes will make a big difference in your life. If you have your eyes on the unseen, it will help you persevere. It will cause you to renounce sin. It will cause you to share the gospel. It will cause you to treasure the salvation that you have. It will cause you to renew your inward man, and it will cause you to see the lightness of your affliction. Do you have an eye for the unseen? Let's pray together.